I am Chris Von Erich. Come on, Franklin. That's hot. Are you serious? If you walk around looking like that, you deserve it. I got something to say about that. This is The Red Lens. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chris Von Erich, and this is The Red Lens. It is Thursday night here in New York. We are live right now. It actually was a very unseasonably good day today, which is shocking for the beginning of February, but I will take it. I am glad to see everybody here. I'm glad to be here. And I'm also glad that my co-host is here. Franklin, how are you this evening?
I'm doing all right, Chris. I cannot complain, not at all. And you know what? That weather today, it was nice. I had a lot of outside work to do, and I was sort of kind of dreading it until I realized, you know what? It's a nice day, and it's not bad. I was able to go out in a sweatshirt and get a lot of work done. It's about 40 degrees still. At least I think it is about 40 degrees. That's not too bad.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. And well, you were outside in your neighborhood doing what?
Oh, I'm in at work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm in at work. I was out doing work stuff like that. Although I've been known to, you know,
because I know what happens when you're lurking around the neighborhood.
Actually, not
community gets very upset.
Not for nothing. I've been known to drag the rake around the front yard. I'm in a town now, so I don't have an awful lot of room, but I do that for a little bit of exercise. And not for nothing, last night the ghetto bird was flying around. It was looking for somebody.
Nice. Very
yeah. And I live just a little bit north of.
I'm
not going to tell you where I live.
But, you know, people at your door.
No, I wouldn't have that. No, it was just like I said. I'm a shade north of J. Paul Ghetto. There we go. I'm just a little shade north of the ghetto.
Nice. And I just want to let people know that if you have not yet subscribed to the channel, please do so. It is youtube.com/TheRedLens. You can do that. We're also on Twitter at TheRedLens1. The dedicated Facebook page is TheRedLens1. We are on the gram, Instagram at RedLens1. And we also proudly broadcast to MGTOW.TV. You can find us at The Red Lens. So we want you to like, comment, subscribe, share this sucker out. And you can donate via Cash App. We love if you do that. It helps us keep the damn lights on. That's for sure. And we'll play you a little jingle.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
We'll play that for you.
Actually, what I'd like you to do, how about donate via Cash App to get Franklin out of just north of the ghetto?
How's that? #Franklin Franklin out of the ghetto. Maybe we'll do something with that.
Because every time I walk outside, helicopters flying around. I'm not sure if they're going to swoop down on me or what. You know, I'm sorry. We thought it was somebody that looked like you. Yeah, okay, yeah. Sorry.
It's difficult sometimes, you know.
It sure is.
Let's see. Mighty Zane is in the house. The sad reality of the Western world is that within a few generations, the majority of people will only be able to consume, think, and act on forced ideals due to the current social conditioning. Well, there you go. That's Zane said a mouthful on that one. There's a lot of people that think that way.
That's true.
Yes, and I want to let people know that you can now call in from any device, any computer, laptop that you are there, you may have in front of you. The web link is right there. All you got to do is copy and paste that into any browser, and you can put in your name and what you want to talk about. In this case, I'm sure it's going to be the topic that we're talking about tonight, which is Joe Rogan and the cancel culture initiative that really seems to have been thrust upon him. Now, not totally outside of any of his doing, which we'll get to in a second here, because he's kind of been the topic du jour for the past week. And we'll get to that in a second. Florida Jeff is in the house. He says, truck Trudeau and let's go, Brandon. There we go. All right. Well, there goes our monetization and our distribution in one link. Thank you.
Fell swoop.
Thank you. In one comment. Thank you. Thank you very much there, Florida Jeff.
I'm a loser.
Okay. Hey, Chris, will you have time tonight to discuss Olympic curling and men's figure skating? Yeah. Yes. Those two very important and masculine events. We will definitely touch upon those. But you know what? He brings up a good point before we get to the main topic here. He brings up a good point about the Olympics. Since yesterday, we were actually getting our lunch handed to us. Mm. In the Olympics. I mean, we didn't even have a damn gold medal up until yesterday. And I think maybe we had one silver and a couple of bronze, and we were like disqualifying. People were falling all over the place in all these events. You know, they were like wiping out if they were snowboarders or downline skiers and all that crap.
Yeah. One girl, she rolled down the hill and really hurt herself.
Yeah. I saw that. I did see that. And I have not been watching the Olympics, you know, habitually. I was more into the Summer Olympics than I was what's going on right now. But I did take a look at what you're talking about, where the girl took a Dixie down there, and you know, it was tough because she was sitting there for a while, and they even said like, "Geez, you know, like, do they have to like keep going back to her?" She's like wallowing in her like, you know, failure basically. And I get a little bit of the outrage on that. It's like, all right, you know, she screwed up and she feels horrible. You don't have to go back there and continue to like, you know, let's wait to see if she gets up, you know, off the snow, you know?
Well, no Lindsey Vonn. That's my girl.
I know. She's retired, right? She's long.
You know what? I think she did retire. Yeah. Yeah, did she retire from dating black guys? I don't remember.
I don't know. I mean, if that's the case, then you're in trouble.
Oh my!
But, she's trouble anyhow. That chick, big trouble.
Well, she's a little weird, right? Well,
yeah, she's a lot weird.
Stories, man, where she kind of flipped out on people,
she did,
on other chicks and stuff, right?
Yep, she most certainly did. I don't remember particulars, but yeah, she's probably needs some meds.
Are we surprised?
Is that libel? No, I don't know if I can say that, but too late. I've already said it.
Jeremiah in the house. Joe Rogan could create his own platform and stream directly from his website. Yeah, I mean, he's got the technology and the backing to do that, but he's not going to make $100 million. I think that's the final figure that he got from Spotify to go from, I think he was on Sirius for a while.
Was he? I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think that's where he started. And then his contract ended or was ending. And then Spotify came in and said, look, man, well, you know, you come over here. And, you know, ironically, they said, well, you can have free reign to do what you want. And, we're seeing what's happening with that, you know.
It starts out that way.
You know, YouTube was once like that too. You know, I could sit here and drop the F-bomb and the, you know, what Rogan said all day long in the past, and not get any shade. Now it's totally different. So again, not that I would be doing that, but I could have. Jeremiah says a subscriber-based platform, if he had 1 million people, say $5 a month, he would get 60 million. Yeah, but there's a lot that goes into that, Jeremiah. There's publicity and marketing and all these other expenses, you know, so there's a lot, you know, and he's got to pay all those people, you know, his, his salary, I don't think is just for him. You know, I think he also pays other people and things like that. So Alex Jones, David Ramsey, and Tim Pool all stream from their websites. True, true. But, you know, those guys, for what I know, and I don't know them very well, although I'd love to talk to those guys and get them on here, I believe they exist more on the online medium. Okay. Mm-hmm. They don't have, you know, they're not as expansive, and they're certainly not as well known name recognition wise as Joe Rogan. And also, I'll say his name. I hope I say his name's like 50 times, because I think that helps in the algorithm. Yeah. Right now. So it's like very popular.
OJ Ogun Ray.
Yeah. This is the Pig Latin version. That help? If I knew some, hey guys in the chat, if you speak different languages, type in Joe Rogan in your language. Do that, yeah. Comment, yeah. Just throw his name in the comments section in a different language if you know it.
Kind of cool.
Florida Jeff says China fixed the playing surfaces for our competitors. You know, again, Florida just bringing up his own topic here. I don't know about that, but I know that something's going on, because just today they found out that the Russian girl who won the gold medal, 15 years old, is under suspicion for a technical issue.
It was a banned substance of some kind.
So if they test that, you know, if they test her out and it comes out that, you know, she's doping, you know, that's the term they use. So they used to call it that back in the day. If they find that out, then actually the American who took silver is going to get that gold medal. So
Russians always been doing that sort of stuff.
Well, the thing, yeah, and you're right, because what's going on here is the reason why they're not Russia or USSR anymore. Well, USSR, that probably was disbanded, but the reason why they're not Russia solely, or Soviet Union, is because they were banned, okay? Because they found 4 years ago, they found people using illegal drugs for competition. And I don't know how they got around it, but somebody knew somebody, and they can call themselves a general like committee. So that's why they're like the Russian Olympic Committee. They're like, what they do is they register as individuals, you know? So this way it's not like we're just a nation. We're just individuals who have Russian descent, and we now compete, you know, on this independent committee here. You know, it's very shady. Okay.
It's
very shady, but they found a way around that, and that's what they've been doing. But here we go. You know, even with that, now we got another situation. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's this girl, and then if somebody else comes out on, you know, on that squad, the country might get banned for the next Olympics. It's very possible. Maybe Tiger is right.
He kept himself alive.
Christina says Spotify pretty much said he isn't going anywhere, sadly. Okay, so Christina is not a Joe Rogan fan. And I can understand that. There are people, and we're going to get to that in a second with this first topic here. Some people are not so happy with him. Nixon Talks, which must be a show here on YouTube, says he came from YouTube to Spotify because YouTube were censoring him. Alex Jones' show was a big one. Ah, yes, that is correct. That is, yeah, Nixon is right.
I didn't remember that.
They didn't. You see, what it was is he's honestly been very much a middle of the road kind of guy when it comes to his guests. You know, much like us. You know, we don't discriminate in terms of, you know, if you have a left-leaning viewpoint or a right-leaning viewpoint, what have you, in the Manosphere, if you come from whatever community, you know, the MGTOW community, the dating community, that kind of thing, we don't really care. you know, we kind of talk about what you're involved in and what your idea of the Manosphere is about. But, you know, people don't like the fact that he had some of these anti people on, you know, and I'll say anti, like, you know, there was the anti-vaxxers, and then there was doctors that were saying different things about things that the federal government was saying. And that kind of rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And just like what Nixon said, you know, I guess Rogan got to the point where he's like, look, you know, I'm not dealing with this vis-a-vis YouTube. And Spotify said at the time, hey, it's cool, come over here. Now, since then, Spotify has also taken down, like, I think like 40 or 50 of his episodes that they deemed a little too controversial.
Really?
Yeah. So
I'd like to know what they were, just for the heck of
I don't know. I'm sure you can find it online somewhere. There was, well, like he was saying, you know, Alex Jones was a problem on YouTube. I don't know, but I'm sure you can find that stuff somewhere. And that's what you have to deal with when we're talking about stuff like that. And you know, we're going to get into it right now.
It's going to be like China pretty soon. We'll need a VPN to see to hear and see anything good.
That's right. China, you know, but to me, let me just bring up this here. You know, it is a little bit of cancel culture on hyperdrive. You know. Here, as we're dealing with in you know, our culture today, especially since last year and now even this year. I had thought that the doctrines of, hey, you can't say that, hey, you know, you can't, you know, be doing that to somebody or making somebody feel that way. You know, they come up with different things that make people feel upset or uncomfortable. And, you know, you can just step into that and not even realize it. And then they want to shut you out. You're done. You know, you get no, you know, you get no warning. You know, your warning comes with, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. And by the way, you're fired. You know, like, it's like, wait, what are you talking about?
Pack your, and get.
Yeah, see, yeah, pack it up and go. But I mean, to me, you know, Franklin, what do you feel in terms of like the whole cancel culture as it is right now?
It just seems that it came out of nowhere. You know, you say something that's a little, the term off color, or mm-hmm. use a term that somebody doesn't like, or they feel slighted by. Okay. Then the majority rules. Okay. He or she has to go. I think, didn't they give Whoopi a bit of a hiatus because she said something that I guess that she right. shouldn't have or something like that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Right. I don't like it to tell you the truth, because you know we had a platform where you could say pretty much almost anything, and now it seems that even platforms that where you could say things. Now there's always somebody that's going to be offended or someone doesn't like what you say, and that's it. Satellite radio. Well, that's still sort of kind of open. I mean, Stern gets away with everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll get to him. It seems like every week we're talking about him now, but we'll get to him as it pertains to Rogan in a second.
All right.
But, no, you're 100% right. It seems like every week there's a different person and there's a different problem that either they're having or they're having with something somebody else said. So it can kind of, you know, it can make you friggin', you know, it can make your head spin, you know, completely around.
But is, you know? Is there a platform? I missed that sound effect. But is there a platform? I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm such a child.
I'm going to get a broken neck if you keep whipping around like that.
But is there a platform where you can't be censored? I mean,
not right now.
But I mean, is there one, or maybe your own platform, like your own?
Right. Well, we know this because, you know, guys that we know, like, you know, Donovan Sharp, he spent money to put his own stuff on his own, you know, web-based platform.
His own network, okay.
Right, bingo. So
effectively,
you can do that, but the thing is, you have to build out that platform in terms of people watching what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Whereas if you can do it through a place that's already established, like YouTube, you already have the potential audience there. You know, even if, you know, and we do a live show, everybody knows that, on Thursday nights here at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. But we, you know, once we're done, this is on there forever unless we take it down or,
right.
You know, again, we're just talking about cancel culture. They don't like something and they tell us, you know, no, you got to pull it. We haven't had that, right. Thankfully, in our, you know, years of doing this so far right now, but, you know, we don't know, you know, I could say something, you know, off color in a joke and that could be it. You know, that could literally be it for us. So, you know what, let's get to the topic du jour of tonight here, which is, you know, Joe Rogan, and his apology for what he did. And what he did, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't heard this, and you probably have, there was somebody through online medium that put a clip together of all the times in the past, like 10 years, that he had used the N-word, okay? And he was using this word in the context of explaining certain black comedians or black actors, how they would go about their acts and work on their material, because he himself too, Joe Rogan, is a comedian. Okay, that's actually, I believe that's how he kind of started. You know, he started with that, and then he did some things in TV. You know, on MTV. On MTV, here you go.
He was on MTV. Holy cow!
Yeah. That's where Fear Factor first.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Okay,
that's
sure.
That's what first had it, and I think he might have been doing some shows and things on there, but he also had been coming up the ranks as just, you know, a comedian, you know. So he was talking in the vein of that and some other things, and this person put together a clip of him just saying that word. And you know, again, even if it's a 10 second clip, you loop that, it looks really bad. And, you know, it sounds bad because it is bad. But after that happened, a lot of people were calling for him, you know, to be canceled, to be censored.
Calling for his head.
You better believe it. And just like I said before, there are people that feel strongly about it, you know, one way or the other, but we're gonna get to that in a second. But I'll get to the rest of the comments. And again, if you want to call in about this and you feel strongly one way or the other, you can do that. The toll free call in number is 877-978-1745. So you can do that, or you can call in via the link that I put in the chat, which is right here. I'll put that up there again, the colonstudio.com show Red Lens. You can do that if you wish to do that. But I want to get to the actual clip of, I'm not going to play his diatribe, the original thing, because I don't think we need to do that, okay? Because I think we know. You know, I think we all, and you can look for that if you want. You know, I'm going to leave it that way, that you can look for that if you wish to do so. I mean, I'll share the, you know, this is who tweeted it, this guy Scotty Beam. I don't know who this is. you know, if it was shared by somebody else, but this is the clip, you know, and I'm not going to play that. But as you can see here, in the, and I'll just blow it up a little bit so you can see more. There were people that felt certain ways about it. It says, you know, what are you, this one guy, Brandon, said, what are you talking context, guys? This is a white guy saying a racial slur that he should not be saying. Why do you need context for this to be seen as wrong? Again, you know, there's that tradition, you know, there's that traditional thing where people say, well, if you, you know, if it is a white guy, he shouldn't be even coming out of his mouth with that.
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of people that feel that way.
And I
feel that way too, because I feel we don't have to say that. You know what I'm saying? I don't think there's any real reason to be saying that word, you know, especially if you're white or, you know, I don't even, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Franklin, but I don't even think it's a good practice for.
I know what you're going to say, and you're right. It's not a good practice,
you know,
for anybody, no matter what, whether you're melanin challenged or not.
Yeah.
Nobody needs to say it. All right.
Right.
Really? Okay. What are we, 2022. Okay. Do we really need to say that now? Really?
Yeah. Well, and again, you know, as far as I understand it from history, that's like a, you know, that was like a very derogatory, you know, slang term, you know, and that's where it originated from. And I know now it's kind of,
I still hear it though, by the way. I hear it from kids. Okay.
Right. I think
the spectrum.
Right. And I think they do it as like a friendly, like, hey, you know, thing. And they don't, you know, they don't mean anything by it.
Right.
But, you know, maybe those kids, those young kids especially, don't
male
understand.
And female.
Well, you're right. And, the, you know, they don't understand the history of how derogatory that word is,
right?
You know, and that's where I think, you know, people are going here. But
I think
that's,
I told you about that off camera one time.
Yes,
the two little girls in my neighborhood. I'm like, holy cow, you know?
Yeah, but, and let me just see. Let me just get to his apology that he, because he came on soon thereafter, and he's got a little thing here. It's a quick clip. It's 5 minutes, and I want to play it, and then I want to get your reaction, Franklin, and then we'll see. Maybe some people will call up here and get their reaction too. So let's see what we got here.
I'm making this video to talk about the most regretful and shameful thing that I've ever had to talk about publicly. There's a video that's out. It's a compilation of me saying the N-word. It's a video that's made of clips taken out of context of me of 12 years of conversations on my podcast, and it's all smushed together, and it looks fucking horrible, even to me. Now, I know that to most people, there's no context where a white person is ever allowed to say that word, never mind publicly on a podcast. And I agree with that now. I haven't said it in years, but for a long time, when I would bring that word up, like if it would come up in conversation, instead of saying the N-word, I would just say the word. I thought as long as it was in context, people would understand what I was doing. Like that context was part of the clip we were talking about, Red Fox, how Red Fox said that word on television in the 1970s, and how times have changed so much since then. Or about how Richard Pryor used it as one of the titles of one of his albums. Or I was quoting a Lenny Bruce bit, or I was quoting a Paul Mooney bit, or I was talking about a Quentin Tarantino used it repeatedly in Pulp Fiction, or I was talking about how a Netflix executive, ironically, used it because he was trying to compare it to another offensive word, and he said it out loud, and they fired him. Not calling anybody, we're just saying the word out loud. I was also talking about how there's not another word like it in the entire English language, because it's a word where only one group of people is allowed to use it, and they can use it in so many different ways. Like if a white person says that word, it's racist and toxic, but a black person can use it, and it could be a punchline, it could be a term of endearment, it could be lyrics to a rap song, it could be a positive affirmation. It's a very unusual word, but it's not my word to use. I'm well aware of that now, but for years I used it in that manner. I never used it to be racist because I'm not racist, but whenever you're in a situation where you have to say, I'm not racist, you fucked up, and I clearly have fucked up. And that's my intention to express myself in this video, to say, there's nothing I can do to take that back. I wish I could, obviously.
Ooh, okay, sorry.
We got the point.
Yeah, we got the point. So, I think he totally understands that he, you know, messed up, like you said. You know, he did. I think he knew he had to come out and say that he messed up. You know, I think the people at Spotify said, look, you know, we may empathize and understand where you were coming from, but even if there's one person out there that's a Spotify subscriber, they may not understand.
Right.
And like that. So, you know, you understand that you have to come out there and make a mea culpa and understand that you're wrong and explain that you're wrong. And he was. So I think he's done that.
That's a pretty heartfelt, I thought, apologies. You know, he knows that, how's it going? Yo, man, that ain't cool. That's not cool. You can't do that. Right. He knows that. Okay. He knows that now. One thing again, and this is something you and I just said, one thing I disagree on what he said about how a black person can use that term, not for nothing. Yeah, that's sort of kind of a double standard, but I really wouldn't mind if I never heard that word again from a white person or a black person or anybody for that matter. Okay. Been called that a few times to my face, but it was in, how do I say it? It didn't bother me as much as it should have, because, you know, duck rolls off the back. But you know what? Like I said, I really wouldn't mind if I never heard it again. And I know that's not going to be true. I know that's not true. I mean, some of the people that he mentioned, Lenny Bruce. Okay, I have a couple of Lenny Bruce CDs, and he used it a lot. But this is early. I mean, Lenny Bruce had his own problems, but this is in the early damn 60s, I think it was. Early 60s, late 60s, early 70s, he had his own issues, and, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal. In fact, there was a movie about World War II where there was a dog in the film, and the dog's name was the N-word, and it was used throughout the film. It was used throughout the film. And, you know, and they would say, you know, come here. You know, you'd call the dog, come here, and the dog would, you know, but he did use that word, and I went,
oh my God.
You know, my face was just like that. It's like when a white kid curses at his house. I'm like, ooh, like Eddie Murphy, you know, that's what I looked like. And you know what? Like I said, I think it was a good apology, heartfelt. And like I said,
we've seen like a lot of this kind of stuff. And you mentioned it with, you know, things that were, I don't even want to say normal in the past, but nobody thought of them in the grand scheme of things, of, you know, how people would think about it. And I saw this movie. It was from like, I think the '60s, called like My Baby is Black.
Yeah. I got the DVD.
You got the DVD.
I have the DVD.
Okay. Here we go. Goodness.
Hey now.
And
you want to borrow it? Let me know.
It was pretty much, you know, formed as like a horror movie, you know, because this white chick had, you know, some black. So it was crazy. So, but back in the '60s, that was, you know, they didn't care. Like, they didn't know. I don't think they knew how like that
I'll go along with that. They probably didn't know.
Right. I would hope. I don't know. But it's crazy how, you know, that was able to be marketed enough to be filmed and then distributed to the point where you have it on DVD.
Yeah, it's not a bad film. Actually, not for nothing. It was, I think I might have told you this, mentioned this to you before about the toothpaste. I mean, I'm sort of kind of off the rails. Like, going in, you got to slap me back and get me back.
What is this?
The darky toothpaste, like how something like that could actually be marketed in China, in parts of Asia. And I think if you look on eBay, you can probably still buy this stuff. I don't know if it's still being made. I wouldn't use it now, but there was a toothpaste actually called Darky Toothpaste. Okay. And if you can find the pictures of it anywhere. Okay. The box just basically had this black face, the big lips, the white teeth, the whole bit, red lips, and a top hat. You know,
a top hat.
Yeah, and a top hat to top it all off. Yeah.
That's
and I saw it in China, and that was when was the last time I was there? About 10 years ago.
Very nice.
They say, see a broad to get that booty act, leg it down, or smack them, yak them. Oh, got to be. Yo, shit.
Them are my two favorite brothers.
I know. I was going to say, to me, black representation peaked with that. That's tremendous. All right. So what do we got here? Hold on.
We got a bunch of.
I didn't know a lot of people popped in here. Let's see. Christina says Spotify pretty much. So okay, we got that. Okay, I'm trying to catch up here, guys. Let's see. I don't care either way about Joe Rogan. I'm a fan of the UFC, and feeling how you want. Personally, I think it says a lot about society for listening to this guy for medical advice. Anyways, okay, so she definitely is not a subscriber to Spotify, at least for him. And there's a lot of people that feel that way. A lot of people think that his whole dissertation on ivermectin and what he did with his doctor is not right, that he shouldn't have, you know. Now, I didn't see it. I didn't see that episode. So I don't know if he came on and said, you know, there's a disclaimer. This is just my experience. I would hope he had done that. So it wasn't like, do this because it works and it's better than whatever alternatives you're thinking about. I don't think that's what he did, but I don't know because I didn't see it. But yeah, there's a lot of people that don't want to hear what he has to say, maybe even about medical advice or really anything. So yeah, he's got his anti-fans, you know, much like we do.
Like everybody.
Right. Florida Jeff says Rogan is actually a Democrat who supports Michelle Obama, Michael. He's so bad. And Bolshevik Bernie.
Bolshevik Bernie. Like
the left doesn't like that he what he wants to hear different views and puts those people on his show. Well, that's what I said before. I said that's one of the things that I think even. No, I don't know if Spotify feels that way, but I know YouTube didn't like that he had different people with different, you know, thought processes on his show there. For some reason, rappers never have to apologize for using that word.
True.
Yeah, and I think that goes to what Franklin just said before, where it, you know, it's something that is part, especially the young culture. It's the, you know, and I think it lives in the, you know, the rap music on that old, you know, young culture. You know, I think that's, you know, it keeps alive. And I think I honestly believe as these rappers age out of the business, you don't see them saying that much, you know, like
they get shot too much.
That's another problem. I think another one of those guys got shot and killed just last week.
Yeah, well, it was in the paper yesterday or today. There's actually, I didn't mean to derail you, but there's actually, it's got a name and I forgot what it's called, but carry on.
Yeah, no, but I was just saying that he, that's a bigger problem for the young black rappers and people that listen to rap music than than anything than what we're talking about. What Rogan said, you know, they have to wake up and understand that, you know, if you want to make something of yourself in the music world, you got to leave that stuff behind. You can rap about it, but you can't be living that lifestyle. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. There's no surprise or shock that the guys that are really the mainstream dudes in that industry, the P. Diddy's of the world and the Jay-Z's of the world, they're not doing that crap. You know, in most of the cases, they're not even rapping about that stuff anymore at their ages, you know? So, you know, a word of advice from those guys is, you know, wake up and stop, you know, stop living your life like, you know, you were where you were from. Mm-hmm. You know, you did a good thing by surviving and getting out and making something of yourself. You know, don't go back and hang out in those areas and talk to those people, because they're gonna drag you down, you know. So, and oh, look at me, I'm, you know, pasty white guy in red glasses saying that.
You know what? Not for nothing, Chris. It doesn't really matter where it comes from. It's right. Just a message that you're bringing forward. It doesn't matter where it comes from.
Right. Joker says, if only one ethnic group is allowed to use a word regardless of context or correct grammar and profit off it, is that a form of privilege? I didn't think of it that way, but
I'm trying to think myself, is that a form of maybe I'm going to say it is a form of privilege, because one group can get away with it, and the other group, if they tried it, there would be hell to pay.
Yeah.
So maybe it is a bit of a privilege, if you will.
All right. Marty, the moderator in the house, working hard tonight. The vast majority calling for Rogan's head aren't black and have even seen 1 second of his shows. I think Marty has a very good point, and that could be one of, or right now, the quote of the night. So we'll give him that. I definitely think there's something to be said for that. I think that there's a lot of corporate and political heads that are talking a lot of that stuff. So yeah, good point. I agree. It's a bad word and has very negative connotations. With that in mind, why should any race be using it? We Jewish people do not address each other with the K word. Yeah, that's right. That's true. Florida Jeff, to my point before, I don't think, especially the young people in the African American community should be saying that word willy nilly, you know, even as a term of endearment, as they do sometimes with their buddies.
Again, I hear it from more white people than I do black people.
Yeah.
Not by much. I mean, I wouldn't want to bet on the difference, but I hear about more white people than black people calling each other the same thing.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Red Pill Geek says, I'm more concerned about actions than words. Rogan doesn't treat blacks bad. If he had just said bad, he had just said some inappropriate words. Okay.
Well, I'll go along with that.
So we have, you know, we have some viewers like Christina, you know, absolutely, you know, he's a jerk. You know, I don't care for anything he says. And then guys like Red Pill Geek says, hey, you know, He said a stupid word. He made a mea culpa about it. Apology. Let's move on. He hasn't badmouthed his black guests on his show or said anything after the fact of those guests when he's had them on. And that's the truth. So he's got a point too. All right. How about Tropic Thunder? Well, there you go.
I don't know the first one. I know Blazing Saddles. As a matter of fact, I've got
Tropic Thunder. Yeah, that was a movie that came out about, I'd say 10 years ago, maybe 08, something like that. And it was a comedy movie where actually Robert Downey Jr. played a blackface, you know, guy.
I remember that.
He was playing a character in the movie, a black character, and he had, they put a fro on him and, tanned his face as much as they could. But he's got a point, But these movies were before we've gotten, to where we've gotten right now. You're 100% right, Marty. Those movies, first of all, those movies would never be greenlit today. Downey's character in Tropic Thunder wouldn't even have happened. Okay. And Blazing Saddles wouldn't even have been made. So they're a product of their times. And I mean, are they going to go back and cancel Mel Brooks? Probably not.
It's a big name in Hollywood, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. And the guy's done a lot of other works, and he's 95 years old, I think something like that. He's really old. So I don't think they're going to be going after him. But two, both classic movies. And I'll tell you something right now. I've hung out with a lot of even, black girls and even black guys that love Blazing Saddles.
They think it's
freaking hilarious. So what'd you say?
I'm one of them.
There you go. There we go.
I probably have that film in about three or four different formats.
I think one of the craziest scenes that I like is the old lady, and that's all I have to say. For those people that have watched it out there. So that is just a crazy scene. And then what makes it is right after that, the scene with the lady is the scene with Gene Wilder and what's the black actor's name?
Cleavon Little.
Right? So they cut.
What did you expect?
They cut right to him, and it's a close up of him, and G Wild is just like right there, right next to him. They like, what did you?
What did you expect? Welcome, Sonny. Yeah. Marry my daughter or whatever? Yeah. No, wasn't it something goofy like that?
Oh my goodness!
And then he actually goes, these are just town folk, just old. And then he says some other kind of curse word, and he just laughs. So that's it.
Oh, my goodness. Florida just says exactly too much apologizing now in our society for hurt feelings. In general, yes. Not in the context of what we're talking about, with Rogan right here. Yeah. Definitely not, not with him, in this context. But yes, generally, absolutely. I refuse to let the host of UFC fights opinions affect me.
Good point.
Yep. Joker is in the house. He says Rogan should have never apologized. I don't see Quentin Tarantino apologizing for making millions off of Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, and Django Unchained. All movies which he said the word personally. True, but I'm going to say it again. All these movies came before a time where we are hyper sensitive about everything.
And well, the latest film there is Django, right?
Right?
That's the latest one, right?
Right. And again, to me, that was before. You see, we have not been super sensitive,
mm-hmm.
okay, and or hyper sensitive to everything. Up until like maybe four years ago, I truly believe with the Trump presidency from that point, ushering in through the last 4 years,
all right.
we've fast tracked this, I am outraged about X, Y, and Z.
Understood.
I feel that if any of these movies or if Tarantino brought a plot or a script of these movies right now, today, to the the powers that be, read my script and, you know, let's film this. He'd have to do a heck of a lot of editing. All right. And I truly believe that. It's not me just, you know, saying hyperbole and whatnot like that. I believe they would be censoring anybody that brought questionable material when it comes to, well, somebody might feel weird about this. So
nowadays,
Lucas Jensen is in the house. I don't know exactly what he's typing there. What really happened to Biggie and Tupac?
They were shotted. That's what.
They were. Let's see where. They were shotted. That's right. They were. There you go. You get one of those for those. Florida Jeff says, he has Howard Stern ever apologized for wearing blackface and bemoaning women day after day on his 30 plus years in the media? That is true. But I don't see what demeaning women is all that bad about.
Hey now.
Oh, no.
Some deserve it. Actually, some, you know what? What was the other guy's name? Ted Danson. He did the same thing.
That's right.
And not for nothing, I think that's the funniest thing he's ever done, because I never liked Cheers.
Yeah. You weren't a Cheers fan?
I remember every once in a while, but it was just like, it didn't really do it for me.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's funny that that he brought up Howard Stern, because it's actually right here, because he says, "Don't cancel me because, he says, degenerate shock jock Howard Stern says Joe Rogan's apology should have been, 'I'm wrong. Go get a vaccine before you die.'" And as you can see, here he is in a skit that he did many, many years ago. Okay.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so that I could see. So now, again, if he, what Florida Jeff said is true. Now, if we're talking about digging up stuff from people's past, this is something that, you know, he should be apologizing for himself too. Mm-hmm. There's a lot, you know, this is what people get called out for. But it says here, former sock jock and current radio mouthpiece for the establishment, Howard Stern offered his two cents on Joe Rogan's recent apologies over the controversy. He said the apology should have included an admission of guilt and instructions for his listeners that they will die if they don't get the vaccine. In response to Rogan's apology video, Stern crooned that he should have said, "I'm wrong, and go get the vaccine before you die." Stern continued to address the controversy to his listeners, calling the entire situation silly and blasting Rogan for not knowing what he's talking about because he doesn't have a medical background. He's really against him for his whole his thing with the vaccine, and again, what he did versus what other people are doing, some people are doing. But again, this author here brings up a good point. He brings up a good point in that, okay, he's getting on Rogan all the time. Well, what about him? You know, what about his past? You know, and that picture that's in that article, you know, that happened. You know, again, some of these people are going back, you know, to high school years about what people are saying or what they did. I think Trudeau, that president of Canada, also did a blackface, you know, costume for one of his Halloween parties back in the day. So, you know, what are we doing here now? So it's a good point. It's a good point that Florida Jeff brings up here. Matt Downer. I hope Matt Downer isn't like one of the guys that walks around all upset all the time. You know, I like Matt, but it's tough to be around. You know,
he's a downer.
Rogan has the freedom of speech. Why should they censor him? He's awesome. So there you go. Here we go. The the antithesis of what some of the other listeners here have in terms of Rogan. So, Jaime Town, just saying, yeah.
Well, that's right, man.
That's right. That's very true. Very, very true. Matt Downer again says, never judge a strong male figure, even in terms of color. Very good. Red Pill Geek. He let Iron Man get away with blackface. Still won't care. Well, we just, we talked about that before. Yep, absolutely. But again, I think that would be looked at differently if the movie came out, you know, now. I need me some Blazing Saddles. That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Very good.
It is a lovely day today.
We almost lost a perfectly good handcuff.
Yeah.
That's right.
Damn, that was lucky.
They're throwing the rope, and you think it's going for the guy, but it's going for the friggin' pulley.
Just don't sit there getting suntan.
We worried about the wrong Joe. Biden wanna fund giving out crab pipes. We will actually get to that in our quick hits segment. I did come across that this week. Some crazy stuff they're talking about. Men don't believe in apologizing. It creates dehumanization in us. We were meant to be Black Knight rebels. Okay, well, see, Matt Downer is not the Downer. He's the epitome of his namesake last name there.
So, craft.
Marty Hertz says, let's have a viewing party for the Karen. yeah, absolutely. Yeah, maybe we'll do that on go Instagram Live on that one. Red Pill Geek, I am a fan of the Cheers theme song. That's how they so he likes it. He likes it.
I mean, okay, you know what? I've seen a few of the episodes, and it just wasn't, what I thought it was.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Did you like the Shelley Long years or the Kirstie Alley years?
The Kirstie Alley years. And the reason I say that is because I have a soft spot for that woman. I don't care what she looks like now. Before, she was hot.
I tell you, I have, unlike you, I have a hard spot for that.
Hey now. Oh, there you go. Well done.
Yeah, I too am a fan of the later ones with Kirstie Alley. And yeah, no, in the 80s, she was as bad as she is now. She was that good in the 80s.
Yeah, hey.
So, absolutely. Yeah, Shelley Long never did it for me. You know, she always was like that. You know, she was like olive oil, you know.
Very nebbishy, very whiny kind of.
Yeah, whiny. She you know, she had like the kind of like pencil figure kind of thing. She, you know, where Kirstie Alley, she was, you know, she was more curvier, you know. And
olive oil.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, you know, Popeye. Oh, Popeye.
Oh, Popeye. Oh,
really?
Oh, really?
Those two guys, okay, Bluto and Popeye, okay, they're still fighting over the same scrawny chick, really.
And let me tell you, I mean, the classic is, yeah, you have seen the 1980s live action Popeye movie, right, with Robin Williams.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to remember much of it, but yeah.
Oh, it's that was great. That was classic. So that was like actually one of his first real roles on film, as a matter of fact. So definitely, if the youngsters out there haven't seen that, well, you know what, they wouldn't like it anyway. You know, it doesn't have like Yu-Gi-Oh or some MAGA, you know, like anime crap, so they're not going to like it. So, yeah, so I'm not going to tell the 20-year-old population or even the 30-year-old population. Well, maybe the 30-year-olds would like it. I don't know. But yeah, the 20-year-olds, they wouldn't understand that.
They have no part of it.
Right. All right, so let's see. Red Pill Geek says, Jimmy Kimmel did blackface, Karl Malone.
I remember that.
I wasn't offended for some reason. Well, there you go. Yeah, that's true. I remember that too. Yeah, he did do that. Riggs Jr. is in the house. Says, good evening. Awesome that he's here. Royal says, durr. All right. Durr. This is gold. I don't know. I'm not going. Listen.
We'll click on it later.
Yeah, I'll click on it later. I guess they'll remake. They'll never remake the Jazz Singer. Yeah, no. No, I don't. I think you'll be waiting a very long time for that, Florida Jeff. Rebecca and Howe. Oh yeah, right. Yeah, Rebecca Howe. Yeah, that was her name on the show. Florida Jeff says, by the way, I've never watched his show, but does Rogan actually give personal medical advice, or does he have doctors and other medical specialists on who give that advice? I believe he has a conversation with those guests, so I don't think he gives advice like that. Again, I've only seen clips of his shows, so I don't believe he does that. 2022 Olive would choose Bad Boy Pluto then complete on his ass. There you go. Very good. Oh my goodness. And that, you know, I was wrong. That is definitely the quote of the night, ladies and gentlemen, right there. Yes, absolutely. That is tremendous right there. Red Pill Geek says Rogan just lets conspiracy theorists talk on his show. He doesn't really endorse them. True. And, you know, and that's fine. You know, you can have that. And we, you know, we have varied amount of guests when we have guests on here. We try to keep it to stuff that guys might be interested in, as a rule. But, you know, we would have them on. And, you know, we also sometimes have women on the program. Now, again, you know, I'm not big on having women on to talk about what they think, you know, red pill manosphere ideals and ideologies are about. I don't think they can give you any input on that because they're not men. Okay. That's fine that they can talk about women's stuff and, you know, what a woman thinks. But then again, you know, they have other platforms for that. So, when we have chicks on here, we're going to have them on to have fun, to keep the conversation light. It's going to be maybe about something fun and interesting, but it's not going to be, you know, oh, well, Jane, can you tell me what you think of, you know, plate theory?
No, spinning plates or MGTOW.
Did you like getting cheated on, Mary? You know, no, you know, I mean, what do you think the answer to that's going to be? Oh, yes, I do. Treat me like
a rug.
Yeah. 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 Treat me like a rug and throw me out in the morning. Actually, that's not a bad idea.
Oh, my.
All right. Let's see what we got here. Florida Jeff says Rogan is an old fashioned capitalist. He's doing a show that's different than most. And obviously, it's very successful. But nobody watches mainstream shows like CNN that every day has a new doctor on. You know, and I'll say, even cable stations like CNN have their own audience. You know, it might be a captive audience, but they have it. So I don't have a problem with Rogan's platform, his guests, or what he does. Okay. He's, from what I understand, he's a libertarian. Okay. For the most part, with, you know, conservative values. And I kind of feel that I have those too. Okay. I'm very much a guy like, hey, you know, you want to have, you know, green hair and set yourself on fire. Go ahead, go do it. But
go for it.
But don't, you know, put the lighter fluid on me, you know, or get it near me. All right. So that's kind of where I fall with that kind of stuff. And I think he's kind of that same, you know, breath, you know, of, you know, you do you, but don't come over here and tell me to do that, you know? So, which I find refreshing and I agree with, you know, I believe everybody should have their own pursuits of happiness. Okay. and go about your business on that. So maybe I'm wrong. And like I said, the number is up there on the screen. You can call in if you share your thoughts about Rogan, what we're talking about here. Or maybe you think I'm wrong, you know, and if you call up, I don't like it, I'll just pull the plug on you. So Rogan is 2022's Tom Green. Dude, Tom Green was, I don't know if I buy that. I mean, Tom Green, he also a comedian.
He was interesting. I'll give you that.
I thought he was a little goofy.
Oh, he was definitely good. Right. I think that's what he was going for.
But I thought he was like silly goofy.
Right. That's what, you know, I think that was his.
You thought, shit. Okay. So maybe.
Yeah, that's kind of like what his shticky thing was, you know, silly, okay, goofy, you know.
Maybe I missed the point. Maybe, you know, okay. But like, where the hell has that guy been? Right?
Retired. I haven't even heard the word Tom and Green in the same sense.
I know, like I mean, usually like these guys go and then they continue to do stand up and things like that. He just disappeared. So that's crazy. All right, one more thing on Rogan here, because again, mm-hmm. we were talking about his detractors, and this guy never is at a loss for saying anything about anybody or, you know, a controversy or sharing his two cents. But Al Sharpton says Joe Rogan's N-word apology must come with some penance. Okay. So here we go. We got the Reverend saying he needs to hear more than just an apology. Okay. It's good, but with the apology must come penance. What is he going to do in terms of his show and in terms of showing that he's sincere?
Reparations. Oh, sorry.
And I just, hey, there you go. You said that. This is not one or two times. This is many times. Okay. Well, again, yes, it was a few times there in terms of the clips that were edited up. But beyond the controversy around the Rogan's use of COVID-19 misinformation, the 54-year-old's previous use of racial slurs on Joe Rogan Experience sparked a firestorm to remove 70 episodes of his show.
Wow.
And his team and his team's request for the whole thing to be pulled. Wow. Okay. Rogan first apologized on Instagram, as we saw. Okay. However, by Tuesday night, Rogan made light of the controversy during a stand-up show in Austin. He said, "I haven't used the word in years, but it's kind of weird. People will get really mad if you use that word and tweet about it on a phone that's made by slaves." Okay. So he's talking about, like, you know, in China, how, you know, they put together all the electronics. Right. Okay. I got it. So, well, I don't know if that was a dig at his apology. I think that was more of, you know, a dig at, you know, the fact that we have a lot of these sweatshops in these third world countries and they don't pay these people anything.
I don't think that the people in that audience could give a F less about the slaves. Okay. All they want is a cheap damn phone. Okay, that's just it. Yeah. I don't think people really think. I mean, I could be wrong, but I just don't think that people really think about, you know, where their phone is. You know, if it was made in this country, which we all want a working wage, it was made in this country, your iPhone that was 2G's that they got in wherever they're making them would be double that price. So you know what?
Right. Now, he says, Sharpton, that when we have seen people in our community speak wrong, they have had to do things like work with those communities and do projects in those communities. And he's not above that. So he wants him to go work in some of these underprivileged communities.
Right.
And whatnot. Maybe that's something. I don't know. Maybe in the chat, you know, let us know if you think that's something you think he should have to do or should be doing on his own accord. Meanwhile, Rogan has turned down a $100 million podcast offer from right-wing platform Rumble after Spotify CIO called Rogan's comments incredibly hurtful in a staff memo. Okay. He did not believe that silencing Joe is the answer. Well, I would hope not, because they'd still have to pay him $100 million. So you could tell him to go kick rocks, but I'm sure there'd be some other curse words coming out of that guy's mouth as he writes
So him an awful lot of zeros.
Yeah. But I mean, what do you think, Frank? Do you think he should be, you know, doing community service?
Well, I mean, as I said, as I said last week, people have a pretty short memory. Okay. I can go through the whole list, but there have been plenty of people who have said a lot worse. Okay. And basically, what kind of trouble have they gotten into? Mm. Yeah, you lose your show, but then again, you'll come right back in another form. It just seems that, again, in short, people have really short memories, and people are for the moment. Okay, right. This is the thing of the moment. Okay, it'll blow over eventually. Okay, we can go through all the names and things like that. Plenty of people that have done and said things that they shouldn't have. Okay, Don Imus, remember him with the nappy-headed hose, or that whole stupid thing? Don Rickles would have no shot today.
Yeah, I know.
He was funny. Yeah, I got to kick that out. But like I said, you know what? Yeah, people have really, really short memories. It's, you know what? In another couple of weeks, something else will happen that will topple or trump this, and they'll forget all about Joe. What's his name?
Hey, I'll tell you right now. I'll say the word a few times. It gets me viral. No, I'm teasing. let's see here. Red Pill Geek says Al Sharpton. I'm done when he shows up, and it's money invited. That's well, yeah. I mean, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson. I mean, these guys are, you know, they're pros at, you know, getting their money while they're saying the right things. Let's just put it that way. Florida Jeff says, Al Sharpless is someone I want to hear from on this. Did he ever apologize for Tawana Brawley? No, he did not.
He jumped on that bandwagon.
No, he did not. Red Pill Geek, sweatshops are the reason we have the new Jordans and phones. People pretend like they care, but not giving their nice things up. Yeah.
Nope. That's what I meant. That's sort of kind of like what I meant.
Yeah. They love their creature comforts. That's for sure. Rogan said the N-word. Now he should have to pick up cans off the street. Yeah. Well,
is that to dehumanize him, or what's the? I mean, I don't follow. Is that to dehumanize
What he's saying is that, you know, what Sharpton's asking is akin to community service, but I think what Sharpton's really talking about is not stuff like that. He's talking about go to a couple shelters and a Big Brother's Big Sister home kind of thing, and you know, put your time in there and. You know, spend time with the inner city kids and, you know, get more of an inkling of what is really going on there, you know, but does he have to do that? No.
No, he doesn't. But does he want to save face, want people to like him, I guess? I don't know. Maybe it'll make people think that he's actually doing something, that he's penitence, I think the word was.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is on that. I don't know. So let me see where we got. Florida just says Michael Richards said some pretty bad things, but no one's calling for Seinfeld to be canceled.
That's right. I forgot all about him.
Yeah. Well, he actually went off.
That was a big deal. If I remember correctly.
Yes, yes, it was. Now, he got lucky because the show was ending at right around that time, or had just ended.
Can you imagine if that had been in the middle of the, middle of the run?
No, actually, I think it was. I think it was a little bit a couple of years after it ended.
Was it
that, okay, that came out? Yeah, because he was doing stand up and whatnot. So, they're not going to cancel the entire show because one guy said something, but he wasn't doing stand up or anything for like over a year.
After
that happened, so they shut him out for a good portion of the time. Now, I don't know how much of a popular comedian he is, you know, so I don't know if he's now doing stuff post pandemic. I couldn't tell you that, but again, these are great examples, but a lot of these examples are examples pre what I was talking about, pre 2016, 2017. You know, I think the ball of I'm outraged because I'm outraged, mm-hmm, you know, that's only been with us about 4 years. So you got to take that into account, guys. Rogan has to pass out Thanksgiving turkeys for the rest of his life. Very good. Very good. I like that.
Kramer, very good. You can't use that word. How many times have I told you? You can't. What is that word?
You can't very use good. That word. Very, very good. Let's see. I'll give him a little on that for that. I felt bad for Kramer. He could have. He could come back now if he had the material. Louis C.K. survived. That's right. Yep. And it's again. These are here we go. We're giving examples.
I forgot about him.
Just what you said, Franklin. Of all the times these guys have stepped in it, and then had to come out, and you know, and we see it's either a racial thing, a sexist thing, okay, or you know, a political thing. You know, those are like the three main ones that you kind of step in, you know, in terms of you know saying something wrong. So very true, very true.
You a big Louis C.K. fan?
Yeah, he's all right. You know, he's not my kind of, you know, comedian, but he's got some, you know, funny material, you know. So all right, so I think we've put the Rogan thing to bed. I think he's going to survive this, like most of the chat here believes.
He probably will.
Yeah, so I think that'll, you know, he'll be okay with that.
Beating a dead horse.
Right. So what I'd like to do now is bring up the segment of the program where I like to take an article from Dear Abby and kind of give it the spin of the red lens and give it the Dear Red Lens. Okay. So, Dear Red Lens, the new father insists baby girl be kept a secret. So she says, Dear Von Erich, my fiance Nathan and I met in college 12 years ago. At that time, he was helping to raise a child he thought was his. He was crazy about his son, Joey. Everywhere we went, he would show him off, post pictures of them together on social media, and talk about Joey nonstop. When Joey turned 9, Joey's mother finally told Nathan that Joey was not his. When DNA tests proved that this was true, well, the stuff really hit the fan. Not only had the mom known from the beginning that Joey wasn't Nathan's, it turned out so did the family and all of her friends. It took a little while for Nathan to overcome the shock. Once he did, he decided he wanted to start a family. He proposed to me, and we welcomed our baby girl. I never cheated on him, but to avoid any doubts he might have, once she arrived, we did a DNA test. Nathan has spoiled her rotten. The problem is he acts very peculiar when she was conceived. Before she was born, he wanted a few people to know we weren't expecting. He said it was because he didn't want to get everybody's hopes up in case something went wrong. Our baby is now 3 months old, and he's still keeping her a secret. Interesting. He doesn't want to take family pictures and doesn't post her on social media like he did with Joey. He asked his family and friends to even, and me, not to tell anyone about the baby, and he gets mad if we do. When I asked him why he's acting this way, he said it's because our child is nobody's business. I love Nathan, and I understand that he's hurt, but I'm starting to wonder if my fiance is ashamed of our child. I can't figure it out. Well, I can figure it out. He thinks you are a deceitful, miserable female dog, okay? And no subsequent children that you ever have is going to change that, all right? You can't expect a guy, okay? And I actually know guys in real life that have been hoodwinked, okay, like this. And what happens is, because the chick is selfish and has crazy ideas of not being provided before, and she has abandonment issues, obviously the relationship she had with the son's father, the real father, didn't work out, okay? And she thought it was, you know, a good idea just to keep this guy on the hook. Now, to pretend that this kid is his and make him believe, even if it was like for a couple of months, is sick. This chick is sick in the head. Now, there's something wrong with this guy too for staying with this girl, because the second you find out about somebody like this,
packing the bags,
you're gonna be out. Your bag has to be packed before you get home from work, you know, the next day. You got to be out. There is no reason to stay with a sicko like this chick, okay? Because if she's gonna lie about
that,
the kid, you know, the validity of the kid and him being yours, what the hell else did she lie about? And what could she lie about in the future? So this guy gets a grade F, you know, for having presence of mind, and definitely is not his own mental point of origin. That's for sure.
Right.
You know, the reason why he doesn't want any publicity about the second kid is because he is mentally shot and shattered from the fact that the first kid that he thought was his was a fake.
Right.
So your relationship's over. I would be shocked if, I don't know when that article was posted or the letter was posted, but they're probably divorced by now anyway.
You would hope so, but I would wonder if that guy stuck around.
I don't know.
I would hope not.
I hope not either. And, again, an example of a sick, sick lady, but again, not uncommon. So, okay, so that's that. What do we got here?
What else is she going to lie about?
What? Yeah, exactly.
What else is she going to lie about?
Yeah. Let's see here.
I had a woman one time tell me she didn't have kids, and then when I called, I think I told you the story, and when I called, the one woman, the girl picked up the phone and she went, "Ma, telephone." And I was like, "Ma, telephone? Sweetie, you told me you didn't have any." "Yeah, well, click." And that was it.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. All right. So, I know that it took a while for us to get here. But the most popular segment of the show is right here for you, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, we are here, and it is the quick hits. So let's
need some quick.
Right, This is the fastest run through of the crazy articles and stories that we've found out there this week. So let's get started right now. Why don't we? Here we go. So Franklin, I will say this to you.
Yes.
That you, I am going to tell you that this is something that you did not know, but you are going to find out right now.
All right.
Dates are more likely to end in sex if a woman can make the first move, scientists have found out. Dates are more likely to end in sex if the woman makes the first move.
That makes sense.
Only 1 in 10 hookups begin with the woman. So it is not something that happens often, okay? And the traditional roles whereby the man asks the woman out, pays for dinner, and then initiates any sexual encounter is only true in just over a third of the cases.
Ooh.
So there you go. Much has changed since the modern idea of dating first appeared in the 1920s, with so-called casual hookups becoming increasingly popular. But now researchers in the U.S. have found that university students are saying when it comes to having sex on a date, that they are doing in practice does not match up. So things aren't going the same way here. Okay. Doctoral student Sam Kendricks of Kansas University says hookup culture is a culture where casual sex encounters function as part of the courtship process. In hookup culture, you don't have to go on a date or enter a relationship to have sex. Well, I second that.
Hey now.
It is essentially flipped around. So let's see. The vast majority of dates, 89%, were initiated by men, even though the majority of respondents did not see a problem with women taking the first steps. So there you go. I like the idea of women taking the lead in the bedroom. I can find ways and things for them to do, you know, when
keep
the lights fall.
Yeah, keep them busy.
Absolutely.
Oh, my.
All right. So there you go with that. So something is, you did not know that, did you?
I didn't, as a matter of fact, and it makes really good sense. It makes perfect sense, but I did absolutely not know that.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. You know, we are all not gifted athletes, okay? I just wanted to share that George Kittle's wife gave him a nice little tribute to end his fifth season in the NFL. And she's giving us a nice little tribute here by posting these photos on Instagram for us.
Hey now.
She says here, that it's just like year five has come to a close. You are my constant inspiration to me and everyone around you, Claire, who is a fashion and lifestyle blogger from Iowa, has said on Instagram. Okay, so there she is here. She is the wife of the 49ers tight end George Kittle. So she did a little benediction to him. And it's good to be an NFL tight end, obviously, in 2022. He followed up by saying a lot of gushy stuff to her, which you never want to do. So, but whatever. I just thought it was nice to see a piece there, you know, show a piece by showing a piece.
Mm.
So there you go.
Just getting ready to say that.
Yes, there you go. All right. So speaking of pieces, speaking of pieces, the GOP is outraged that $30 million have been allocated by Joe Biden to fund crack pipe distribution to reduce drug harm. Okay. Conservative legislators are outraged by a recent report that Biden's drug harm reduction program will go towards funding safer smoking kits. Okay. This government funded paraphernalia, is a slap in the face, many people say, with people flowing over the borders, et cetera. The drug problem already rampant throughout the nation. The controversy stems from a request that...
From who?
I guess these are civic programs that have asked for this. Okay. So they basically are offering these facilities to have safe syringe exchanges, which is good. Okay. Opioid reversal drugs. I guess that's like the Narcan, you know, fentanyl testing kits and other methods meant to stem the U.S. overdose crisis, which has killed more than 100,000 Americans in this past year. That's crazy, ladies and gentlemen. But they say now that they are now including smoking kits / supplies. Okay. These kits could, and I'm sure after this article, they're not, but they could include pipes that could be used to smoke drugs like crack cocaine. Okay. One Congressman Tom Cotton saying, is this some kind of cruel joke? So I can see where they're a little apprehensive about that. I hope that that idea to give them the pipes, they think better of that, because I think that's a bad move.
I think it's a bad move too, but you know what they probably should do? You know, I've suggested this for a while. Maybe, for instance, food stamps, okay? Mm. Appetite suppressing ink in the food stamps.
Huh.
Okay, something along those lines. So you're not going to want to spend all that money. You're not going to want to eat. So maybe line the inside of the crack pipe with like Narcan or something. So the minute you're going to use it, it doesn't work. And maybe it'll help you stop or something. Yeah. You know,
a little anti procedure there.
Thank I like you for it later.
I like the way you're thinking.
Later.
All right. And the final article I came up here is I love these people. Kendall Jenner.
Ooh.
She thinks
she's the skinny one.
She is. She says, no more handicap parking for me. I'll use the red curb now. Kendall Jenner is no longer parking her luxury SUV in the handicap spot during her Pilates class.
Oh boy.
She had been stirring up chaos in the parking lot recently. On TMZ, they said they got her Thursday at the studio, which is on Sunset Plaza, and noticed her parking routine. This time, she simply parked in the red no stopping zone. So that's like a slight improvement. So she's not in the handicap zone anymore. She's in pretty much the fire zone.
The red zone is for loading and unloading.
Yeah, that's it. However, Kendall's arrival wasn't totally kosher because before her security parked it, she ticked off at least two innocent drivers. The SUV made it painfully difficult for someone else to pull out of the spot and also forced another driver to wait patiently until they pulled it out. So,
but that doesn't sound, I mean, I'm sure she did that, but that doesn't sound like her though. I mean, I always thought she was the one that was like the most level-headed out of all of them. I guess, you know what, if you're talking about a K-girl, there is no level-headed.
Listen, Franklin, when you need to stretch, you need to stretch.
It's necessary. Stretching absolutely. Is necessary.
Absolutely. So there were your quick hits, ladies and gentlemen.
Here we go.
All right. So let's see what we got here. Rayon Sabayan. Right, Sabayan? Says, hi there. What is up, my man? Glad you could come in. Glad to see you here again. Thank you. We like to see you. We like to see your buddies. All of you here. Because we're trying to give you some information, get you in the know. All right. So I think we got pretty much everybody here. So it is getting to be the witching hour, ladies and gentlemen. So I want to thank everybody that participated in the chat tonight. I want to thank everybody that is going to watch this program on replay. And of course, Franklin, I have to always thank you for being here.
Not a problem. Not a problem, Chris. Always glad to be here with you and our many, many listeners. And the show's growing, man. We got a lot of stuff coming
Absolutely. Out. Absolutely. And we got a lot of stuff in the works for the upcoming weeks. Some guests that are going to be coming on here. So you got to pay attention to the website. The website, again, as always, is on YouTube. /The Red Lens. You can find us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, and also broadcasting from MGTOW.TV. So definitely do that. Like, comment, subscribe. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, society may be crazy. We're not. We're out of here. Good night. God bless.